It is now officially starting the hearing, so Neely, if you wouldn't mind turning on the tape, we'd be good. All right, thank you. Mr. Ford, would you identify yourself and any associations?
My name is Pat Ford. I'm just representing myself tonight. I'm a resident of Boise. First, I just want to thank you for the context, sir, and the presentation. I wasn't aware of a bunch of that, and some of it that I was not aware of would have affected what my little notes here had I known it. So I think what I'll likely do is try to submit something on slightly longer, but not much, that does account for some of what I learned in the context piece. I'll start by thanking the governor for urging a sustainability policy get put into the water plan, and thank you for thinking it through. I agree with a number of the implementation strategies and the milestones and some of the narrative text. But in the interest of time here, I mainly wanted to focus on the definition, which I didn't know until now is the governor's definition, at the moment at least, more than yours. I think the definition will probably drive the value and the impact of the policy, so that's where I just want to quickly focus. I don't think, and I won't repeat it, you all know what I meant. I don't think I've ever seen a definition of sustainability that, for water or land, that didn't include health as a goal or objective to sustain. I don't mean water quality only. I mean water health, public health, which has great bearing on water. It's true that use, which is the main focus of the definition now, includes the concept of health. But I think it's truer that health includes the concept of use. Our water uses, to varying degrees, but all high degrees, depend on water health. So I think sustaining the health of Idaho's waters, as well as sustaining the uses to which we put that water, should be in the definition. Second, in my experience, change, management of conflicts, and limits also feature in most sustainability definitions. But the first is only implied in this one, and the other two are missing. They are featured more in the text below, but I'm talking mainly about the definition. I think sustainability has become a water policy need and focus nationwide because of interactions among fairly large tides of changes in water conditions and uses and values that you are all very familiar with. The ubiquitous tasks of managing all of the conflicts, physical, biological, and economic, within and among water uses, and physical and biological limits. By leaving out how those things interact, I think the definition gives no reason particularly for the board to bother with sustainability at all. I suspect the water board would say its current job already is, quote, the active stewardship of Idaho's water resources to satisfy current uses and assure future uses of this renewable resource in accordance with state law and policy. I don't see what the definition brings to the table that is new for you. The draft policy doesn't mention what I think is the major new factor that is changing Idaho's waters, and changing all of those things that are also changing relative to water uses and values, with worse to come, and that's climatic changes due to human activities. I think sustainability, if it were applied and implemented well, could really help Idaho and Idaho water policy respond to climatic changes in our waters. But those increasingly apparent changes, at least to me, are not mentioned in this policy. I know there's some controversy here, but I just think the science and engineering and economics of water use and water health aren't honest or useful to the future we pitched our children into if climatic changes are left off account. I don't think official Idaho water policy will be of much help to tomorrow's Idaho if it doesn't face that more squarely. And the last point is to just mention a book. Maybe this is more to the staff than the board. Sustainability is a complex concept. It's somewhat vague as a concept. It's a contested concept. In other words, different people think it means different things. This book, called Sustainable Value, Sustainable Change by Brian Norton, is the best compendium I've found of what it ought to mean, its various meanings, how they play against each other, and its uses, what it could be if implemented. And I would urge the board, more particularly the staff, to investigate the book if you're interested. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the time. I'm sorry for reading from my computer screen here.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. Appreciate your comments. The next person we have on the list is Justin Hayes. Justin, if you'd come up.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the board. My name is Justin Hayes. I'm the program director of the Idaho Conservation League. Thank you very much for the opportunity to deliver testimony before the board today on this important issue. And I appreciate the effort that the board and members of the staff have put into this policy. I think, as everyone in Idaho is aware, Idaho's waters are to a large degree over-appropriated, and as a result, there's a fair amount of tension within the water user community. In many ways, I think this plan appears to focus on sustaining the status quo use of water, and since we are already in over-appropriated basins, perpetuating something which is inherently unsustainable is not a particularly good sustainability plan. I urge you guys to reconsider this approach. A true sustainability policy would bring into balance water use with maintaining healthy rivers and fisheries. I don't see a lot of discussion of that aspect in the plan as presented. Idahoans tremendously value our outdoors and our incredible rivers and fisheries. I think that we expect the Water Board to be stewards of those resources as well, not only to assure that people who have a lawful right to use water and have access to that which can be afforded to them, but protecting the environment, protecting water quality, and protecting the values that all Idahoans cherish so deeply seems like a very important part of a sustainability policy for the state of Idaho, and it is lacking in this draft. With that, I'll conclude my testimony. I'd stand for any questions if you have any, but I would encourage you to send this back to staff and ask them to flesh it out a little bit more and make sure that we are sustaining the natural world and the things that people in Idaho value about that natural world, not just the use of water for economic purposes.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Appreciate your comments. The next person who has identified themselves as wishing to speak is, I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher your last name, David. David
Monsess.
Would you identify yourself? Would you spell your name for us, too?
And, yeah, it's Monsees.
Okay.
And you can't spell it and pronounce it at the same time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And are you associated with any...
Well, I'm representing myself.
Okay.
I live here in Boise. I would like to deal with the new kid on the block that we're facing. As you're aware, the state has passed a number of laws and has been involved in rulemaking concerning oil and gas extraction. And while the state and IDL may deny it, the legislation opens the door to fracking. And actually, Bridge Oil, who had the initial leases in the valley, said they intended to frack. Alta Mesa is denying that, but Alta Mesa's fracked everywhere they have been in other parts of the country. In North Dakota, one out of three wells that involved fracking have resulted in groundwater and river pollution by spills and through injection wells, to say nothing of the earthquake issue. But I think the sustainability plan really needs to take into account a forward look at what water resources in Idaho will face, and thinking of the economy and health of the population, they need to bear in mind, for instance, I won't buy food that has been grown in Central California anymore because the water there has been polluted. I actually now buy fruit from Florida, which I didn't like the idea of doing, because while they're using pesticides, the fracking issue has not become an issue. And so I think, you know, the real potential economic consequences, if you don't very carefully look at protection of the public and the lands with respect to all of the different kinds of contamination that can occur, radioactive and chemical. Thank you.
Mr. Monsis, I have one quick question for you. You had mentioned Bridge Oil and another
company. Bridge Oil initially had some leases, and they pulled out Alta Mesa.
Alta Mesa was the other one. Is that the Payette County?
They're in Payette. They're leasing land very shortly. They already have some land, and they're leasing more land in the area around Emmett. In Fruitland, they've already started drilling. And even if they don't frack, the wells, just like other types of mining, leave fairly destructive consequences.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next person who has indicated indicated they wish to speak is another name. Last name I'm going to butcher, Richard from TU. You want to help us spell and pronounce your name, not necessarily at the same time?
Yeah. My name is
Oelschlager. Oelschlager. Oh, of course. Thank you.
I'm Richard Oelschlager. I'm a board member of the local chapter, Tetrapet chapter. We're here essentially to represent our primary mission, one of our primary missions, and that is to protect fish habitat. We take a little exception to the fact that this report is replete with comments relative to public to private property rights. And we wish to remind the legislature that use of Idaho's water is the United States constitutionally protected right, the public as well as the private right, and that neither supersedes the other. Despite that, there is precious little, as the previous person has mentioned, in this document that makes that fact clear. So we would request that the legislature consider this fact and try to amend the language of this document in such a way that those two things are not recognized as being equal. In July, on the 18th of July, we're taking 18 children, half of whom are sent with donations because their families can't afford it, up to the North Fork. Camping for 5 days, taking them fishing, introducing youth to this wonderful culture, as the first sentence of this document reflects. That fishing is the way of life here in Idaho, and we would like for the Water Board to be certain that sustainability includes fish habitat as equally important as to private property.
Mr. Oelschlager. Did I get that close? Peter, did you have anything? Did you have anything you wanted to add, Peter? Shelley Brock? Association with anyone, or just here?
I am a part of a group called Don't Frack Idaho, Citizens Allied for Integrity and Accountability. I'm here on behalf of myself tonight as a grandmother professional and have lived here in Eagle in Idaho for over 40 years. So I consider this place my home. I have a few statements to make, and then I'm going to throw out some open-ended questions for you that I hope you guys can answer for me. Sorry, I'm losing my voice from allergies. I know that there are several ongoing lawsuits against the state for this transfer of water rights. I don't really know too many details about that. I'm sorry that I haven't had a chance to really study up on it. I have some friends that are involved in those lawsuits. And I really don't understand how you're allowed to charge the early spring runoff, early releases against, grandfathered in water rights. So I'm curious about that, and I'm worried that what's going on there could be related, as David Monsi said, to the oil and gas production that's ramping up across the valley and across the state here. I know that a lot of other states, like Colorado, for instance, they've taken on programs like this that turned into an opportunity for the state to basically sell the water rights to the highest bidder, which is inevitably the oil and gas industry. And I pray to God that's not what you guys are doing here, that's not what's going on here. But I don't have much hope that it's not. I know for a fact that tens of thousands of acres of state-owned land have been leased across the Treasure Valley already and across the state. Including right in Eagle, almost 3,300 acres in Ada County, most of that in Eagle under high-end subdivisions. I know that the entire Boise River from Star Road all the way to the Oregon border has been leased for future drilling and fracking. The Payette River from Black Canyon Dam all the way to the Oregon border has also been leased. And the Snake River from Homedale all the way to the Oregon border have been leased. There were also some leases scheduled to be auctioned in February, and they were postponed to a later pending date. I've been guaranteed by IDL that those will go on the block, and they are directly in or adjacent to Cedar Creek Reservoir, Salmon Falls Creek Reservoir, and Salmon Falls Creek. And I don't understand how a private industry is allowed to come into this state and basically apparently secure rights to this water and potentially use it for drilling and hydraulic fracking. David Monsi said that the industry and the state officials are denying they're going to frack here. We have no doubt that they are going to. I have a copy of the negotiated rules that we've been working on at the Capitol since Senate Bill 1339 passed just a couple of months ago. There's a whole section in here on hydraulic fracturing. They have worked very hard to put in laws to allow them to frack here. The story that we've gotten from those officials is that so far no formations have been identified in the state of Idaho that would require fracking. However, this is the latest integration application just filed by Alta Mesa a few weeks ago. It's the fourth. We fought them on the first three successfully and held off them force pooling a bunch of families over in the Fruitland area who did not want that production under their homes, and basically Alta Mesa could not prove that they had their 55% mandated mineral rights for those sections, so they went ahead and passed a law that basically strips all due process from the ability of anyone to protest that. So that's where that stands, but the reason I bring that up is this is page 2 of that application, the latest one. And they talk a little bit about sands, which is what industry and state officials are claiming is the only thing they're going to be drilling in. And they say all they'll need to do here is conventional drilling, which by its own self requires tens of thousands of gallons of water to conventional drill. And it also presents equal dangers to our water aquifers and surface waterways with the disposal of the waste off of those wells. And down below the sand, there is this line. Potential source rocks are dark gray carbonaceous shales and coals found in some of the deeper area wells. And they reference two wells off the historical well logs on the Idaho Geological Survey map that had carbonaceous shale in them. So the state and the industry claim there's no shale here, and that's why they can't frack. But we have evidence right in their latest application that there are the formations here that are going to require it, so we have no doubt it's going to happen. Over 90% of the wells across the United States have been fracked. like Dave said, Alta Mesa is fracked in every state they've been in. Every other company that comes in here is going to use the same type of technology here. That's just a fact. They spent 85 years conventional drilling here, and it failed commercially. They're back because they can frack. So my questions are, how can they do that? How can, this is another line off of the latest application, protection and use of water. The leasee, which would be Alta Mesa in this case, but any other company that comes in to do this, shall follow generally accepted industry practices designed to protect freshwater strata from contamination and protect the surface from exposure to produce water and other contaminants. The leasee shall not use water from lessors, which would be the people who they get to sign leases or the people forced pooled, shall not use water from their irrigation and domestic wells or from the aquifers supplying said wells without the lessor's written consent. So according to this, if a homeowner gives them permission to use their water well or any creeks that are running through their property, they can use that water to drill and frack with. It takes millions of gallons to frack a well each time they frack that well. It takes tens of thousands of gallons, 50, 60, up to 100,000 gallons to conventional drill. My question is, how is that legal? How can we, I was told that all the water in this state, all the water rights are accounted for, every drop of water is accounted for, and nobody can come in here and do this. How can a private industry come in here with the blessing of our governor and lieutenant governor and some of our legislators and do this? I would like to know that, and I hope you guys have an answer for me.
So, Ms. Brock, yes. thank you for your testimony. I will try to answer your question. Anybody who needs to appropriate water has to go get a water. And so if they've got to go to the Department of Water Resources to get a water, or they've got to go to the Department of Lands to get a water. So the Water Board doesn't issue water rights for any of these fracking activities. So we have no authority over them, over their activities. All we can do is establish general policies for other agencies. But I do appreciate your concern. We'll take this your concerns into consideration when we reevaluate the language of the proposed sustainability policy. Thank you.
You should also know that DEQ is supposedly the entity that regulates all, toxic waste off these wells, and I've been in contact with them in the last couple weeks, 3 phone calls, and no one there has done any monitoring of the wells for the last 6 years that have been drilled and operating in Fayette County. In fact, they were very nice, but obviously no one is, the industry is completely self-reporting. So I hope that you can find an answer on that too, exactly who is gonna monitor this water that is pulled from our, water system and destroyed forever, basically. It really is once they use it. So if you can get an answer, I left my email on there. I'd love for you guys to get back to me with that.
Thank you, Ms. Clark. Mark McCord, you're up next.
Good evening. My name is Mark McCord. I'm not from Idaho. I'm from Texas. I know a lot about drought, and I know a lot about the oil and gas industry because I've been around both of them for quite a long time. I found some interesting statistics.
Before you go on, are you associated with any associations or?
No, I'm here speaking on my own behalf. I'm a professional river guide and whitewater paddler, and the reason I'm in Idaho primarily is because you guys have some great rivers and some great water.
Right, thank you.
You bet.
We do have some great rivers.
You do indeed, some beautiful rivers. Some of the facts that astounded me when I read them yesterday was the fact that Idaho is the number 2 largest user of water in the entire nation. That surprised me. California, number 1, 13% of total U.S. water usage. Idaho, 2nd, number 9. California was 19, Idaho was 13. My state, Texas, as big as we are, with 27 million people, was 6% of total U.S. water usage. The other statistic I read that blew my mind was that Idaho per capita uses more water per person than any other state in the nation. Now I'm here to tell you, if those statistics hold up and your state counts on agriculture and your state counts on an abundance of water, that water needs to be protected at all costs. And from what I'm told, and I don't know if this is true or not, But I've been told that your rivers and lakes here are primarily used for irrigation canals, and that most of the places, the cities around here, have water well systems that go into aquifers that they obtain their drinking water from. If those aquifers start declining, or if the water in those aquifers gets contaminated by something, you're going to have no choice but to go to those rivers and lakes for your municipal water supplies. And if you have to do that, that means less water for agriculture. Now, on the issue of agriculture, I got some friends up here that are farmers. Some of them use wheel lines and some of them use pivot lines. And they put out a lot of water. Most places around the whole world have adopted drip irrigation as the proper technique for agricultural growth because it uses about one half or less as much water, and the plants get about three times as much water as they do from sprinklers and canal irrigation and flooding and things of that nature. The problems you have when you flood or when you sprinkle a field are that a good portion of the water is either lost to evaporation or runoff. So it doesn't accomplish anything necessary except to take your water on down into another river, which goes into another river and eventually out into the ocean, and your water's lost. So it's really important to utilize the water resources you have in a way that's going to be beneficial to you. Now, I said all that to tie into the fact that you've heard some talk about Alta Mesa and what they want to do. Number one, Alta Mesa is a company on the verge of bankruptcy right now. Their bond rating is CAA2. The last time I looked, it may have dropped beyond that. It's rated as junk, and they're rated in imminent danger of default on long-term debt obligations. If they're allowed to come in here and drill for oil and gas and use your water in the process, and they end up contaminating your water resources and then go bankrupt and out of business, it's going to be incumbent upon your state, the citizens and taxpayers of the state, to make up whatever damage they do. And it's a very real likelihood. If you look at their track record, everywhere they've been, they have numerous violations for spills and leaks and all kinds of safety violations that have contaminated soil and water. And the normal process of producing natural gas also contaminates air, which is not your worry. But certainly the water issue, the amount of water used, the fact that that water is permanently polluted and can never again be used for any other purpose, which is why they deep inject it into deep foundation layers of stone to get rid of it permanently so it won't come back up. That leaves you in a real pickle if you need water for irrigation on your agricultural produce around here, because as I understand it, Idaho is primarily an agricultural state, and that's the bulk of your revenue stream. I think it's really important for you guys to take a serious approach toward protecting that water. And to that end, I would encourage you, if it's within your purview, to make sure you do not allow private landowners who have a right of capture on their land to utilize their water that they can take from their land that's public water that belongs to everybody and sell it to an oil or gas company so that they can use it for fracking. I hope this will be something you'll give a lot of thought to, because it's a very important matter. Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory and NOAA state that in another 5 years or so, a mega drought is going to hit the United States. They usually last 75 to 200 years. This one is predicted to turn everything between California and Texas into something resembling the Great Sands National Monument. They say it's going to devastate agricultural production. It's going to cause a shortage in world food supply and a tremendous increase in food prices. This ought to be a major issue to Idaho, since you are such a major agricultural state. And so I'd advise you and ask you to please protect your water resources with everything you have. All the water that's on the planet today has always been here. There is no new supply of water. And every bit we take out of our cycle, out of our hydrologic cycle, is one more drop that we can't drink, or we can't use for bathing, or we can't use to grow or prepare the food we eat. So please keep that in mind and take a conscientious approach to protecting that water, because it is your most precious natural resource. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. McCord. Appreciate your comments. So that is the end of the people who have indicated that they wish to testify. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Yes, please come up. Identify identify yourself and
sure.
any associations you are?
Yeah, my name is Victoria Cassetta, and I'm just coming as a citizen of Idaho. Just to give a little background on my story, I owned a small lavender farm in Emmett, Idaho, and it was an investment property going to be used to raise our family and maybe grandchildren and stay in the state of Idaho. But due to the issues with possible water contamination through the gas and oil industry, we decided to sell our property. And we're now currently renting and living in Boise without any real future of investing any money into Idaho. Even though we love it, we're not sure what the future would be here. Because I'm impressed with your policy narrative excerpt number 3. The goal of sustainable use of water resources of the state must recognize that the goals of sustainable economic growth and protection of existing rights must coexist and are enhanced by measures that protect and maintain surface and groundwater resources and the aquatic, riparian, and human resources that depend on these water resources. Recognizing these needs will promote economic and environmental security and enhance the quality of life for the people of the state of Idaho, which I feel is not being implemented at this time due to the stripping of the rights of property rights through the gas and oil industry legislation passed this last time, Senate Bill 1339. Couple things. If you're going to have sustainable water quality, I'm wondering if there's a baseline testing and monitoring component to the sustainability language. So unless you know where it's at right now and what's in your water right now, if it's compromised, you won't know it and you can't prove it. And that's one of the things that there was some issues with. I was on a board in Jefferson County to help ordinance to try to make sure the water quality there is maintained before, during, and after any gas and oil industry activities. And one of the things that we saw there was, unless you know what's possibly going to be in your water, you can't test for it, right? So if I test you for heroin and you come up clean, but really you're on marijuana, right? You're still a drug user, but we didn't test for that actual component. So that's kind of the same thing with water being the universal solvent. It dissolves a lot of different chemicals in that water. And so where is the baseline testing? How are you going to prove that the water quality is hasn't changed and has maintained its cleanliness or whatever? So is there that component? And make sure that that's written into there. Again, I thought I did read that through the sustainability, maybe that there was actions to protect, you know, the fishing industry or all those other recreational water quality issues, and if that's not in there, I would urge you to put that in there as well. Okay. Any questions?
No, thank you very much for your comment.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify, recognizing you've got 6 or 7 more chances if you want to go to Chubbuck or to Haley or Sandpoint? You're certainly welcome to come up and join us up there. If not, as we mentioned before, the written public comment period is open until the end of September. And there are different ways, as Haley has shown on the slide, as to how to get in touch with us. And so, again, we really do appreciate the comments that you've made, and we will take these and the comments we receive around the state into consideration before we make a final recommendation of what the sustainability policy will look like. And as Neely said earlier, what we then have to do is take what we craft and submit it to the legislature and ask the legislature to either approve, review, disapprove. And so we're just the mean, I'm just the first step, but we are just a step in the process of trying to make a sustainability policy for all the people of our country. So we appreciate your comments, and with that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for coming.
Can you go back to that previous slide with the dates of the next meetings? There you go. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.